So today I'm going to be reading the scripture of carrying on with Ephesians chapter 5 verses 1 to 20. And there's the Bible in front of you or the overview. So let's begin. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But fornication and impurity of any kind or greed must not even be mentioned among you, as is proper among saints. Entirely out of place is obscene, silly, vulgar talk. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. Be sure of this, that no fornicator or impure person or one who is greedy, that is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be associated with them. For once you were in darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Thanks, Bernadette. Leave the light on. These days, we're told, don't forget to turn the light off. And that is a good practice environmentally. But what about the light of our life in Christ? A story is told about some candles who refused to be taken from the storage closet to provide light during an electrical storm. They all had all these different excuses of why they should not give off light. When the husband told his wife that the candles wouldn't work, she explained, "Oh, they're church candles." Ouch! Do we have excuses for not giving off light? How often do we only shine for a few hours and then it's back to life as usual? We may come to church and turn on the light, but when we leave, do we turn the light off or do we leave it on? Paul's charge here in chapter 5 is to leave the light on. This passage is not to be seen in isolation. Otherwise, it can feel like someone is pointing their finger at you. You know, don't do this and don't do that. And I think sometimes that is what is done with some of Paul's letters. People cherry pick different passages and preach on those. And so people can have this perception that Paul is harsh and demanding. But that is not the case. And that's where I see such tremendous value in preaching through entire books of the Bible. Because then we have a chance to see what is being said in context. So as we look back over what Paul has said so far, what has he been talking about? He's extolled the grace of God. He's talked about Jesus' sacrifice, his forgiveness, the incredible gift of salvation, that we are heirs, that we are God's dearly loved children. And now Paul moves us forward to see what we are to do in response. Because of God's gracious love, because of his actions towards us, we are to be imitators of God as beloved children. Paul is putting together what we are, what we believe, and how we behave. Later on in this passage, you will have noticed that he says, "Be careful." And how often have we heard those words? Parents frequently say them to their kids. Oh, be careful as you cross the street. Be careful as you drive. You guys hear this a lot, right? The words are spoken out of love and care. And that's what Paul is saying here. He loves these people. He wants the very best for them. He cares about their well-being. Paul is saying, be careful how you live. Pay attention. There is a right way to proceed in life, and there's a wrong way. Are you going to live with the light on or with the light off? Philip's translation, the translation I really like, in verses 1 to 2 says, as children copy their fathers, you, as God's children, are to copy him. Live your lives in love. The same sort of love which Christ gives us and which he perfectly expressed when he gave himself up for us in sacrifice to God. Copy God. Just as children tend to copy their parents, so we are to copy our Father God. Copy God. Learn Christ. And to not grieve the Holy Spirit. Why? To earn favor? To earn salvation? No. It's a response given out of love. It really is in our best interest. And in doing so, we take light to others. A couple of weeks ago, Sean, and it's great to have him playing on the worship team, was sharing how we are called to be Christ-like, called to be Jesus in the world, to be a light to the world, doing what pleases the Father. And then Paul goes on in verses 3 to 4 to say, and this is from the Message paraphrase, don't allow love to turn into lust, setting off a downhill slide into sexual promiscuity, filthy practices, or bullying greed. Though some tongues just love the taste of gossip, those who follow Jesus have better uses for language than that. Don't talk dirty or silly. That kind of talk doesn't fit our style. Thanksgiving is our dialect. The translation that was read this morning and some other translations in verse 3 say fornication and all impurity. And the Greek words for fornication and impurity together cover every kind of sexual sin. In the world of Paul's day, it's not all that different than today in terms of sexual permissiveness. Casual sex and all kinds of curious practices seem to have flourished. Many people saw no need for restraint. If it seemed fun, well, why not just go ahead and do it? Sex is a topic that when it's discussed in church, well, even if it is discussed, has tended to focus on all the don'ts. Sex has been degraded as something sinful. But sex is a gift from God. A gift that, yes, can be cheapened and abused. But being in the right place, it's God's good gift, which we do not want to see cheapened. This fall, I'm going to attempt a sermon series on money, power, and sex. Three biggies. But three very important areas, I think, for us to consider. So stay tuned in regards to this whole area of unpacking our sexuality. Suffice it to say for today, that Paul is pointing out how this gift of sex can be misused. What we do with our bodies matters to God. What we think and how we speak matters too. For where our thoughts and our words go, so follow our actions. We are God's dearly loved children. A new family. A new people who are to put off the old life and put on the new. Purposely putting away from us all conduct that is incompatible with our life in Christ. In verse 6, Paul warns us to not be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins. We hear lots of different philosophies and opinions out there these days. Words that may sound very convincing. Words that may resonate with our culture. But when you really look at them, they're empty. There's no life in them, no truth. And N.T. Wright points out, it is vital not to slide along through life in a general foolish haze, hoping things will work out all right, but not being prepared to think them through, to figure out where this or that type of behavior will really lead. That is the way of death, and you need to wake up and rise from the dead, relying on the Messiah, already risen, to shine his light on you. Then you'll be able to walk in the light. We're not to act thoughtlessly, but to understand what the Lord wants us to do. We're to act in character with the God we worship, renewing our minds, actively cultivating a Christian life. In a book called Just Like Jesus, Max Lucado tells this story. He says, when my daughter was a toddler, I used to take her to a park not far from our apartment. One day, as she was playing in a sandbox, an ice cream salesman approached us. I purchased her a treat, and when I turned to give it to her, I saw her mouth was full of sand. Where I had intended to put a delicacy, she had put dirt. Did I love her with dirt in her mouth? Absolutely. Was she any less of my daughter with dirt in her mouth? Of course not. Was I going to allow her to keep the dirt in her mouth? No way. I loved her right where she was, but I refused to leave her there. I carried her over to the water fountain and washed out her mouth. Why? Because I love her. God does the same for us. He holds us over the fountain. Spit out the dirt, honey, our Father urges. I've got something better for you. And so he cleanses us of filth, immorality, dishonesty, prejudice, bitterness, greed. We don't enjoy the cleansing. Sometimes we even opt for the dirt over the ice cream. I can eat dirt if I want to, we pout and proclaim. Which is true. We can. But if we do, the loss is ours. God has a better offer. Living in light is much better than living in darkness. Jerry Bridges wrote a book called The Pursuit of Holiness. But before he gave his book that particular title, he thought about calling it Saved by Grace, but Living by Sweat. It does require an effort on our part. Holiness is conformity to the life of Christ, to his likeness. And this means that we are to deal with the sin in our lives. We receive God's grace and forgiveness, and we allow him to transform us, allowing him to wash the dirt off. In verses 8 to 10, Paul writes, "For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth." Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Paul lists two words here that involve us doing something. Walk and learn. We are to walk in a way that is pleasing to God. Refusing to be involved in sexual sin, greed, inappropriate language, acting thoughtlessly. It's walking in forgiveness, humility, gentleness, patience, and love. And we are to learn. We cannot leave the light on without a continual process of discerning, following the direction of the Holy Spirit, living continually in the Lord, aware of Him, learning what is pleasing to Him, asking the question, how can I be like Christ? How would He live in my circumstances? To leave the light on involves us walking and learning. In verse 7, Paul tells them not to follow those who are disobedient, for that way is darkness. And that's the life that they once led. And one commentator that I read mentioned that it could be that Paul is calling to mind the ninth plague given to the Egyptians that's noted in Exodus 10. This judgment was a darkness that could be felt. So dark that people could not see each other. And they had to remain in their homes for 3 days. It was a tangible darkness, so thick it had substance. But the Ephesians are now light. Not just in light, but are light. Their very substance shines forth the truth of the gospel. This light is truth, holiness, integrity, and love. This light is the light of Christ, the one who has declared, "I am the light of the world." I want to close by quoting another story from Max Lucado, and this one is called The Cave People. Long ago, or maybe not so long ago, there was a tribe in a dark, cold cavern. The cave dwellers would huddle together and cry against the chill. Loud and long they wailed. It was all they did. It was all they knew to do. The sounds in the cave were mournful, but the people didn't know it, for they had never known life. But then one day they heard a different voice. "I have heard your cries," it announced. "I have felt your chill and seen your darkness. I have come to help." The cave people grew quiet. They had never heard this voice. Hope sounded strange to their ears. "How can we know you have come to help?" "Trust me," he answered. "I have what you need." The cave people peered through the darkness at the figure of the stranger. He was stacking something, then stooping and stacking more. "What are you doing?" one cried, nervous. The stranger didn't answer. "What are you making?" one shouted even louder. Still no response. "Tell us," demanded a third. The visitor stood and spoke in the direction of the voices. "I have what you need." With that, he turned to the pile at his feet and lit it. Wood ignited, flames erupted, and light filled the cavern. The cave people turned away in fear. "Put it out," they cried. "It hurts to see it." "Light always hurts before it helps," he answered. "Step closer. The pain will soon pass." "Not I," declared a voice. "Nor I," agreed a second. "Only a fool would risk exposing his eyes to such light." The stranger stood next to the fire. "Would you prefer the darkness? Would you prefer the cold?" "Don't consult your fears. Take a step of faith." For a long time, no one spoke. The people hovered in groups, covering their eyes. The fire builder stood next to the fire. "It's warm here," he invited. "He's right," one from behind him announced. "It is warmer." The stranger turned and saw a figure slowly stepping toward the fire. "I can open my eyes now," she proclaimed. "I can see." "Come closer," invited the fire builder. She did. She stepped into the ring of light. "It's so warm." She extended her hands and sighed. as her chill began to pass. "Come, everyone, feel the warmth," she invited. "Silence, woman," cried one of the cave dwellers. "Dare you lead us into your folly? Leave us and take your light with you." She turned to the stranger. "Why won't they come?" "They choose the chill. For though it's cold, it's what they know. They'd rather be cold than change." "And live in the dark?" "And live in the dark." The now warm woman stood silent, looking first at the dark, then at the man. "Will you leave the fire?" he asked. She paused, then answered, "I cannot. I cannot bear the cold." But then she spoke again, "But nor can I bear the thought of my people in darkness." "You don't have to," he responded, reaching into the fire and removing a stick. "Carry this to your people. Tell them the light is here, and the light is warm. Tell them the light is for all who desire it." And so she took the small flame and stepped into the shadows. Will we take the flame and step into the shadows? Will we leave the light on? This charge is not just for individuals, but also for us, I think, as a church. 136 years. What a wonderful thing to be able to celebrate. We have quite the legacy. But what is next? We are called to be a light to the nations. A light on the hill here in New West. Will we refuse to give off light like those candles in the cupboard? Or will we do the work that we are called to do? Jeremy Bell, our denomination's executive minister, was recently in Turkey for the Baptist World Alliance meetings. And the theme of the conference was Revelation 2:11. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. This verse is originally addressed to one of the seven churches in Revelation. And it was an appropriate reminder as they had those Baptist World Alliance meetings. And I think it is an appropriate challenge for us today, as we not only look back with gratitude for what God has done here at Olivet, but as we look to where we are going. What is the Spirit saying to us as a church? How are we going to keep the light on? There's a few things that I sense God calling us to. One is clearly proclaiming the gospel. And to help do this, we're going to offer an Alpha course in the fall. And we certainly need your help in order to be able to do this. Another way that I have really sensed the Spirit leading is to have an alternative Sunday evening service. How that will look, I don't know, but that's how I sense God leading. And praying for a fresh wind of God's Spirit to blow through this church. As Paul says in verse 18, being filled with the Spirit, making music to the Lord, giving thanks for everything. Those who have become light are to be light bearers in the world. We are not to turn the light off. As we continue to gather together as a church, and when we as individuals leave this building and then head out into our communities, when we have coffee with friends, when we're at a ball game for one of our kids, when we go to the work, when we go to the store, when we talk with our neighbors or meet people on the street, we are to leave the light on, making use of every opportunity that we have. Taking each day, each hour, each moment as a gift from God and using it for His glory. We are light in the Lord, and we are to live as people of the light. The task for us is to leave the light on. Let's pray. Lord, you have called us to take your light into the world. And Lord, forgive us for when we don't want to shine for you, when we don't want to change, when we want to leave the dirt in our mouths. We don't want to stop those behaviors that are not pleasing to you. Lord, help us to see what you are offering, that you do have something better for us and something for us to share with the world. Cleanse us, Lord, and help us walk in your ways, learning what pleases you. And Lord, help us to do that as a church, to listen to where your Spirit is calling us and not shrink back in fear, but stepping out in faith, trusting you. I pray this, Jesus, in your precious and holy name. Amen. Here at Olivet, we have a church covenant. It's wonderful. It's a powerful and challenging document. And as this is our birthday, I would like us to read this covenant together, renewing our commitment to God, to one another, and to this church. If you are visiting, please stay and join us for cake as we celebrate. But you don't need to read this with us. Just read it if you are willing to make this commitment. So as we do this, let's stand together, and then we'll close with a song. Having been led by the Spirit to profess our faith in Jesus Christ, and having been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we do now solemnly and joyfully affirm our covenant with God and with each other. We affirm our mission is to glorify God as a people united in love and committed to continuing the ministry of Christ our Lord on earth through the power of the Holy Spirit. We pledge to serve Christ in the community of this church by discovering our gifts and talents, by becoming equipped to serve, and by developing a servant's heart. We will act in love toward one another, refusing to gossip about one another, remembering one another in prayer, sharing each other's joys, and sustaining each other in times of distress. We aspire to be a community of the concerned, where the lost may find Jesus Christ, sinners may find pardon, seekers may find meaning for their lives, and where all who come may find welcome. We shall strive to be responsible church members through faithful attendance, by growing spiritually, and by godly living, giving regularly to the ministries of the church, participating in the ordinances of believers' baptism and Holy Communion, and following the leaders we ourselves have chosen. We will share the responsibility of this church by praying for its growth, by inviting others to attend, and by warmly welcoming those who visit. We shall seek to be obedient to Christ in our daily living, within our homes, in our work, and while at leisure. We shall strive for attitudes and actions which will reflect God's Spirit working through us, believing that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. We shall seek to avoid experiences and habits which defile the body and hinder our witness. Bound together in the broader community of faith with all who confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we shall work and pray for a spirit of unity among all Christians, believing that our call to be a church is a call to witness in the world. We dedicate ourselves anew as servants of the Lord of all life. Whenever people are in bondage to ignorance, poverty, fear, or prejudice, we shall strive for justice, freedom, dignity, and peace. Whenever people are separated by barriers of hostility and distrust, we shall be ministers of God's reconciling love as we pledge our support to the work of our missionaries throughout the world. We commit ourselves to the mission to which God calls us all. Acknowledging our human frailties and ever seeking forgiveness, we profess our need of the Holy Spirit and commit our lives to Jesus Christ and through him to the care, the judgment, the deliverance, and the mercy of Almighty God. Amen. Let's sing a final song that reaffirms some of this.